as we get into God's Word. I want to begin by reading out of Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. If you would please stand, the words are there on the screen. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have the attitude in yourselves which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God and did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the same which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Please join me in as we go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you now as we have read these words and we have allowed your Holy Spirit to guide us through these words. Lord, we just ask that you bring to mind those things that you would have us know, so that we may be your servants and be ambassadors of your cause and be Christ-like in our world we live in. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our world likes heroes, don't we? I mean, every time, yes. We'll track them down for you. No problem. Our world likes heroes. We enjoy watching movies with all these heroes. In fact, I was reading an article here yesterday that some company is going to pay someone $1,000 if they watch all 20 Marvel superhero movies. It's part of this Disney branch of the Marvel Universe or whatever. So somebody's going to make some money off of these Marvel movies. You know, I have seen my share of these movies. I can't say I've spent a lot of the money at the theaters. In fact, most of the time I waited for them to get on Redbox or some way cheaper, I would watch them. But when you really think about how many times the world has been at least come close to the destruction, and someone shows up to be the hero, whether it's Captain America or Iron Man or Spider-Man or some superhero, it makes you wonder, what are we really looking for? I mean, let's look at this for a second. We want a guy who swings around on a spider web to save us, but we don't want to give attention to Christ, who took a towel and a basin of water and washed his disciples' feet. We want a man who shows up in a metal suit that weighs much more than he could carry on a single body frame, to shoot lasers out of his hands or fly around and save the world from some impending doom. We want someone to save us, but we don't want to give attention to the true Savior of the universe. I mean, Christ has shown time and time again that He is the Savior. He has brought salvation to us. He has made it available to us. But yet, do we give Him the attention that He deserves? And do we follow His example in our lives as we're called to do? When Paul writes these words to the Philippian church, he tells them that we need to give attention to everybody's needs and everybody's concerns. Put everybody else before ourselves. Be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. I tell you, why do we need a Savior when we already have one? I wonder sometimes in 100 years from now, if the world's still around and the people of that have come and gone are gone, and a new century of people, and they go to our arts, because they say art is a reflection of the people. And what is art? Well, movies are art. And I wonder what the people of 100 years are going to say about the Americans of today. They like their superheroes. But in the whole time, they weren't focused on a real hero. They weren't looking for the true hero that they could find that's available to them. I hope and pray that we find a way to turn our hearts back to God and about to the example that Christ shows us. And in this passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. What a powerful verse of Scripture to live by. Think about this for just a moment. If everybody in our world lived that verse of Scripture, what kind of world would our world be? If we put everybody else's needs before our own, and if we consider everybody else's situations and truly understand what they were going through, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Again, putting everybody else's needs first. Concern with everybody else's issues so that we can not concern in a sense that we just simply talk about your problems, but we try to help people. You know, also in our day and age where we have become talking a topic of interest is mental health issues. You know, where are people at with their mental health, and what's going on in their head? I mean, what drives a person to shoot up a church or a mosque or a school? You know, these places. Just the other day, over in Canada, there was a priest that was attacked with a guy wielding a knife, and he was stabbed right in the middle of Mass. What drives a person into a mindset that they think that it is okay to go and stab someone? It's okay to go and shoot someone. It is okay, it's perfectly acceptable behavior to plot these ideas and these thoughts. Also, yesterday I was reading in the news of a young lady who took her life because she was a survivor of the Parkland shooters, the Parkland shooting. She was dealing with survivor syndrome, which is a genuine issue that people deal with. You know, she was there when the school was being shot up by the fellow. I don't even want to mention his name, even if I knew it at the top of my head right now. It's Dylan, I believe. But she was there. She survived. And because she survived, she felt like she had survived. She didn't deserve to live. So she took her own life. Think about this for just a moment. If people around her lived this passage of Scripture out of Philippians and showed interest in her in her problems that she's dealing with. If mental health was genuinely a concern for the American people, instead of just simply a topic of talking, instead of just simply a political conversation, instead it is a genuine concern. Mental health issues is a true problem that we need to face, not only as Americans, but as a church. Because your mind has got to be centered on Christ to be right. Because I guarantee you, if your mind's centered on anything else other than Christ, it is going to drift away to some violent things and to the areas where you think that you deserve more. But as Paul points out in Philippians here, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead relinquished that willingly. The term bondservant means that he willingly put himself in a place of servitude. He wasn't forced into slavery. He chose to become a slave for us. Why? Because Christ came to do the will of his Father who sent him. Jesus came to do one purpose and one thing only. That was to do God's will. In John 6:38, it says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." You see, Christ came to do what we could not do for ourselves. Wasn't just doing the will of his Father, but it was doing the will, doing that which we could not do. We could not save ourselves. No matter how hard we tried, we could not bring salvation from our sins. The term that I want to point out to you is in John chapter 3, we know the passage of Scripture in 3:16, but in 3:17, there's another part that we should always pay attention to. It says, "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." That word "saved" in this passage of Scripture is a very tricky word, because it's not just the idea of plucking you out of harm. It's actually healing you, bringing healing to you. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he brought healing to us. What did we need healing from? We needed healing from our sins. We needed healing from our minds that were lost in sinful, in our sinful ways. The world has been filled with sin. It was so bad that even God himself was grieved that he ever created the world. And so Christ came to lay down his life to save us, meaning to bring healing to us. Or another idea there is to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. See, Christ served us. That's why people have a hard time with him. He's not the superhero. He's the slave that laid down his life willingly. He gave of himself. He was perfect by God's standards, and he was obedient to his Father's will. Why? Because he came to do what we could not do for ourselves. In 1961, at the inaugural address, John F. Kennedy asked that one line, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." A lot of you might have been there for, might have seen those words on TV, you might have remembered the event. I don't know. I wasn't even thought of. Wasn't there. But I've seen those words, I've heard those words, I've seen the address on TV, all the examples that I could tell you. I've seen it. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. This morning, I want to change those words a little bit. Ask not what your God can do for you, because He has done so much. He has done so much. But instead, ask what you can do for your Lord and Savior. Because I tell you, His purpose and His plan has not changed since the beginning of all creation. It is to bring the message of God's salvation to those who haven't heard the good news. It is to bring cleansing to those who have not heard the message of God's saving grace. It is to bring salvation to all the world, not just some of the world, all the world. That verse of scripture in John 3:16 is not a kid's verse that we just simply have to memorize at camp or memorize in VBS or memorize in Sunday school to get a sticker on a paper, on a piece of paper. That is a powerful word of truth. For God, say it with me, I know you know it. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now think about what those words mean. For God so loved the world, not just some of the world, the whole world. God laid down, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to earth and live in our world. Go through our pains, go through our sorrows, deal with our troubles that we deal with. He lived, He loved. Some theologians say he lost His earthly father at a young age. We don't really know. We just know Joseph's not much in the picture when Jesus starts His ministry. All that to say, Jesus suffered. He suffered much more than we would ever suffer if you think about it. Because I know I've been through some painful trials. My back's kind of achy right now from moving furniture around and doing that whole thing. But I've never been scourged with a whip, beaten to the point of death. Never done that. I don't plan to either. That's not my interest. But He did. He suffered. And He bled, and then He carried His cross till He could not carry it any further. And then He died on that very cross. He didn't do that because He had to. As Philippians points out, He did it because He wanted to. Because He wanted to bring salvation to you into all the world. And that's what He did. By His wounds we are healed. By His stripes we are made whole. You see, Jesus did that for us. He set an example for us. He did it all to show His love for each and every one of us. And for the world we live in. Because He wanted us to follow that example. To serve. Not just serve because we have to. But serve because we want to. Growing up, I hated doing the dishes. I mean, I still don't like it. I'd rather eat on paper plates. Of course, some of these paper plates now you have to be careful with, because you end up eating the plate more than because it kind of absorbs into the food. So my dad would my dad would oftentimes, we didn't have a dishwasher. In fact, he made a point to take that out when I was older. When I got old enough to do dishes, or actually, yeah, I think it was around the time, he took it out of the house. And it sat empty. That spot sat empty for the longest time. I think it was just to kind of say, you are my dishwasher. That was his way of doing that. So I didn't like doing the dishes. In fact, being a kid, we lived in a trailer, so it was a little elevated off the ground. I would scrub dishes, and I think one of the problems I have with doing dishes is I can't ever seem to get it clean enough. I'm always like scrubbing, and I feel like it's still dirty. And it drives me crazy that I can't get it clean enough. So many times, he would bring a dish in or whatever, and it was crusty and all. I would put it dog food in it and put it out on the porch. Didn't have to do it that way. Or the next time, whatever. Or I would go another way, and I would take the dish and I'd throw it under the porch, and it just disappeared until it got to the point where he figured out that I was throwing dishes under the porch, and I got in a little trouble for that. It's not fun to serve, is it? Serving others is not something we like to do. And you know, we were talking about this on Tuesday night, a little advertisement for our Tuesday night Bible study that we do once a month, the third Tuesday. The ladies have their group, and the men have a group in the back building in the kids' class. And we were talking about on Tuesday night about how Jesus got up from the table. Here the disciples were arguing amongst themselves who was going to be great in the kingdom, who's going to be the greatest and all. And what they're not paying any attention to Jesus, who gets up, gets a basin of water, a towel, and a bowl, and then begins to wash the disciples' feet. And we had that exchange between Peter and Jesus through this whole time. You know, the feet washing should have been done when they first walked in. But Jesus, I guess, saw that it hadn't been done. And it wasn't a responsibility of the head of the table to wash the people's feet. It was a servant at the door that would wash the people's feet as they came in. And really, they were ceremonially unclean going into the Passover meal. And so Jesus goes and washes their feet, making them clean. And he's illustrating to them that to be the greatest in my kingdom, you have to be the one who serves. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And it's a really upside down idea that Jesus is teaching us. And he wants us to understand that we're not here to be served. We're here to serve each other. And if we could grasp this idea as not just a church, but a world we live in, oh boy, think of some of the turmoil that we would end. And if we put everybody's needs before our own, if we truly lived out the verse of Scripture that we considered everybody else's needs before ours, how beautiful the world would be. So this morning, I want to ask this simple question. Are you a servant like Christ? Are you following his example? He's the example we're to follow. No one else. We are to be like Christ in this world. We're not to be like everyone, the world. We're to be like Jesus. And if the world could see Jesus, the world would be a better place. Gandhi was a very politically driven man in many ways, but he was also a very religious man. One of the interesting parts about Gandhi that people don't realize is he would actually meet with some of the Christians that were ministering in that community that he was serving in. And that led a Christian broadcaster to come to interview him and ask him, "Are you a Christian?" He says, "No. I like your Jesus, but I've never met him." Think about those words for just a moment. I like your Jesus, but I've never met him. Think about our world we live in. How many people in our world could probably be saying the same thing? I like your Jesus, but I've never seen him in you. Therefore, I don't know him. See, Jesus calls us to have a new interest in mind. And that interest is not to be like the lords of this world and the rulers of this world, but instead to be like him who gave up the very throne room of God, who gave up equality with God, who had it all. He gave up heaven to come down here on earth, not just to wash the disciples' feet, but to show the people of his time a better way, to live out a perfect example in God's kingdom, to preach the kingdom of God is here, it's available, and then to lay down his life, willingly lay down his life, so that you and I and this whole world can have the opportunity to be made new in his kingdom. He became a servant for you and for me and for the world we live in. Let's take away the excuse that the world has. Let's introduce people to Jesus. Let Jesus shine out in you. Let Jesus be your example so that people can't help but see, I want that Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want him as my Lord and Savior. Because guess what? There is a coming destruction. Hollywood has try to destroy this earth many times in all these movies, and it's usually some alien race or some alien robot or something comes in and wants to destroy the world. But in the end, this world will be destroyed. There will be a new heaven and a new earth that is going to come into being through God's creation. And those who are in Christ will inhabit that new heaven and new earth. No one else. So I hope we're populating this new creation that's coming. I hope we're not just looking forward to having plenty of land for ourselves, plenty of room to roam, because we'll be missing out on the opportunity to unite people to their Creator, the one who not just brought life into being, but also redeemed life from its fallen state in Christ Jesus. How much does God care for this world? It's immeasurable. That's why he did what he has done. And now he has equipped and empowered you to continue that which was started in Christ Jesus, to bring it to its fullness so that all of creation may know that Jesus is Lord of all the earth. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Now it's our responsibility to finish what he started and go and make disciples of all nations, bringing them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and making him Lord of their life. Not by force, not by war, not by might, not by sword, but by word, by the word of God, because that is what's eternal. Not a single pen stroke, not a single comma will be removed from this word until his return. He's promised that. It reigns true forever and ever. So live it out and share it with those who need to know it. Heavenly Father,